Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host tonight for Mud Toe at Midnight. Todd has the night off. He had some other engagements he had to take care of. So my name is Iggy Garcia. I'm your host for tonight. Just going to be kind of holding the switchboard here and holding times for those of you who don't know who I am. Introduce myself. I'm actually the person who started with InsightsRadio.com and the different shows that are on here. So I get the opportunity to fill in for my good friend Todd Smith, Mud Toe, Sasquatch, and you know, for all of you who know him, he has a pretty cool show. It's a half an hour long, so I'll do my best to be Todd or just be myself in the process. But yeah, let's go. I'll just read his bio. Mud Toe Sasquatch has been a researcher, a material scientist, product developer, a quality assurance manager, a school teacher, a house painter, a salesman, an amateur actor, a director, a videographer. No matter what avocation he tried, Mud Toe found himself plagued by the persistent sense of spiritual emptiness in his feelings and his human society and the fundamental flaws that he has. So basically, our friend just brings the different aspects to with insights that we like, because he's just generally himself. He gets to share who he is and doesn't have to be anything for anyone or anybody. He's just right out, you know, he brings the shadow aspects of with insights. You know, sometimes we're all la-di-da in the light, but, you know, that's what we need. You know, the day is followed by the night. So I'm going to do my very best to, you know, keep that, you know, rhythm going with his show and keep things going. If you have questions online, just let us know in the chat room. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440. Who knows, maybe Todd will even call in on his break. But, yeah, I'm just kind of looking at the current events here. I don't, you know, really watch the news too much. I really don't get involved in with that because I like to keep my energies where, you know, kind of centered. But today I just decided to, you know, peek at CNN. I was really curious about what I would see there. And I didn't really read the article, but, you know, I was just kind of intuitively picked up on what I was reading there. There's a holdout. World War II soldier dies. He hid in the jungles for decades. For 29 years, Japanese hero Onda, down in the wilds of the Philippines, refusing to believe World War II had ended, he died this week in Tokyo. I find that really, really, really amazing. I find that really fascinating. I find that very interesting. Here's a soldier, you know, for his country, hiding in the Philippines and not realizing the war had never ended. Just kind of, it was an interesting thing for me to read, you know, and just kind of look at the pictures and him saluting and everybody welcoming him back, and how, and just how fit he looked, you know, and how, you know, preserved he was to some degree. That what I found interesting was, you know, that he was hiding for 29 years in the jungles of the Philippines and, you know, not realizing the war had not ended. Just realizing, you know, he did the very best he could within that moment in time with what he had. And I found that really interesting, and I just thought it was kind of cool that this person had created a world for himself, created a scenario, created this existence for 29 whole years. You know, I mean, just, you know, living and wondering and assuming and not, and disconnected from the world to some degree. He was disconnected from the world that he remembers and the world that he was probably part of, but he became connected with the world. You know, if you know what I'm saying, he became connected with the trees, the water, the land, and all the things that he's part of. And at some point, you know, he came out of the woods and he just realized, you know, it was time to come out. And but sometimes this is probably one of the best times of his life, and it's probably one of the most scariest times of his life. You know, knowing that the war had ended so long ago, and everything that he knew, he probably has lost or given up, or, you know, vice versa. I can't really go into his head and know what he's thinking, but I could just imagine, you know, the life that he was, you know, just creating in his mind in order to survive, in order to make it through the woods and make it through that time. It just would be, you know, an ordeal that's just amazing. It's you hear stories like this all the time. This is one of many. I've heard many times when I was younger, in my youth, stories of Japanese soldiers coming, out of the jungle and realizing the war had ended. But I also find that the war is ended, but the war is still very fresh in a lot of people's mind. It's one of those things that caused. It was a big change in the war, in World War II, big change where, when the United States actually bombed, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and just the loss of life that, went on. And, there's debates and there's people who give their opinions and, but in the end, we were the ones that dropped the bomb. And I don't think anybody's ever dropped the bomb on anybody that I can recall, that I know of in my lifetime, that has ever been, to that extreme. But maybe that's what causes the powers in the worlds and the different, battles of the Cold War and everybody to, get into the situations where it's just like a big game. The world's just a big game, and it's just a big chess piece, and everybody's trying to dominate it and take it over. I'm not trying to get negative, but, I also have to realize that we do live in this world, even though, I work on my spiritual aspect of my life and the things that I do and the different things that I'm into. Not everybody's into that. Not everybody wants to be a guru. Not everybody wants to be a shaman. Not everybody wants to be a medicine man. Not everybody wants to read cards. Not everybody wants to do that. But that's what I choose to do. And within doing that, I attract certain types of energy, certain types of people, certain types of beliefs, certain types of things that are important to me. And so that's what it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to feel that and to try to understand that and try to be part of that. I've been taught by great, leaders and people who I have encountered in the past that, they don't watch the news. They don't watch TV. And the reason is they don't want to, bring that into their being. But I do believe that there is, you have to be informed to some degree. You have to know what's happening in the current offense. If you choose to, if that's where you want to be and you want to place your energy. But, it's always good to peek, and see what's happening around you. What's happening, what's going on, how you maybe have affected that, how maybe you can change that, how maybe you can do something that creates that. So, that was an interesting thing that, when this soldier came out of hiding after all those years. But, I'm just going down the list here. Not too much has changed. Everything that I'm reading is pretty much the same. Mystery reporter's credit cards used, wife who accused minister of an affair dies. So it's just different players and different people who take the position and they move on. For me, I have kind of like watching sports and I like to, see the winning and the losing aspects of life. That, it's pretty clean cut and dry. And, things happen and it's over and it's done. And let's see. Here in the U.S., current affairs, there's always something happening. There's always, like a good friend of mine used to say, I don't watch the news because what happens is, eventually if it's bad enough, you're going to find out, somebody's going to tell you what's going on. And so that's basically where my point of views come from, just being informed by those who are really into it. So I don't really dedicate my time into watching the news too much. But I also understand as a holistic practitioner that I have to, at least know where, what's going on in the world so I can find out and know and keep up with it. And, it's one of those things you just have to kind of have it, bits and seeds and pieces. Okay. So we're moving right along, right down the line. Just kind of the show's going to be kind of like current affairs, type of scenario. Just things that are kind of interest me. And it says, does Hollywood have a Latino problem? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Some of these, you could just read it. Are they asking me a question? Are they personally asking me, the Latino, or they're just asking everybody in general? And, there's, let's see, the case in Denver. They said, in Denver, an Andrews family runs an old-fashioned store selling the biggest novelties of new era, marijuana. It's a big debate right now. Marijuana is state-run and legalized in Colorado, and I believe in Washington as well. There's some other states who are voting on it in the next coming elections, and it's just fun. I kind of find it very funny that the federal government hasn't really If they have, I haven't heard. Let's put it that way. But they haven't really, like, necessarily, I haven't seen any news or anything that they've been, they've stated that they don't like it, but they're going to enforce it. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I think it's just a testing. It's a test market. Like, you know, here's Colorado. Let's see what happens. Let's see what's going on. So now they legalize marijuana, and they open stores, and these stores are either for medical marijuana or recreational use. I don't know how they're actually breaking it down and how much they can sell. I'm not familiar with that aspect of it, but I find it very interesting. You know, I believe that a lot of people thought there was just going to be one of these crazy, big, huge parties, and maybe it is to some degree. But, you know, I find that this is a test because they want to see if this will work and see if this Schedule I narcotic, which is what the government has it labeled as, if it's going to be a detriment. You know, here, you know, this is does Colorado become the new Amsterdam? Possibly. Possibly that's kind of what they wanted to do. They want to see if this will work. This is another time, another way you can tax and create a taxation on a product that, you know, has been around for very, 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 very long time, even through the Bible and even before that, and the beginning of time maybe. But, you know, the marijuana, you know, here they are and they're selling it and they're doing really well. And, you know, it's been proven that it's helped. It has medicinal purposes to, you know, for healing certain types of ailments in the body. Some people would say it cures cancer. Some people say it cures glaucoma and different, so on and so on. So, you know, let's see. It's still out. The debate's still out. I'm not sure. I'm just curious to see how the federal government's going to get involved in that. It's one of those situations that, you know, it could go very good or it can go really crazy. I know that there's been a lot of people writing stuff that people have OD'd on marijuana and different kind of stuff like that. But, you know, if you do a little research, you'll find that that's not true. Then the people who have overdosed have probably, you know, taken other drugs along with it. You know, you're going to have issues regardless of things. We have people who have issues, you know, drinking alcohol. They can't even, you know, handle that, you know, and that's legal. And alcohol is actually more detrimental to the body, and it's been proven. It just has adverse effects on your liver and just different aspects of your body, and it becomes very dependent, and you become very addictive. There's a debate that says marijuana is not addictive. Well, you know, maybe the product itself is not addictive, but I think the habit of having it and the accessibility of having it, you know, or just doing it to keep yourself high is an addiction in itself, to create an addiction. They say it's not addictive forming, but, you know, human beings create addictions. We create addictions with our minds. We create addictions with different things, with people, you know, we create addictions with TV. We become so engulfed in our own little world. You know, our lives become so encapsulated. We become so closed off from society. And so, you know, to say that marijuana is not addictive, maybe the properties of the marijuana are not addictive, but the behavior of the addiction is the person. You know, you could be addicted to AAA. And now, Todd and I had this conversation one time. You know, we could be addicted to, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous just to go and keep us, you know, off drinking alcohol. And, you know, but that's somebody's point of view. That's somebody's belief. That's someone's perception. That's my perception. Can that happen? I don't know. But, you know, I'm not here to discount or prove. I'm just giving you my opinions, how I see things and how we're going. Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting was Dennis Rodman when he went over to North Korea to play basketball with a bunch of other guys, and then his antics and his and the things he said and the things you know, he commented about the prisoner that was taken, and I just find it kind of interesting that you know, that he actually went, and this is my opinion, but this is how I'm seeing it, that he actually went, and then he says he wasn't paid and he said he didn't take any money. But I don't know, you know, I mean, he is kind of an oddball from my perspective and my perception, watching him play basketball and painting himself up and doing himself the way he does. It doesn't surprise me that he went to North Korea and did what he did and performed and whatever. Should we be surprised? Should we sit there and go, wow, Dennis Rodman to North Korea? I mean, it's like some big deal, you know, like he's going to really affect the world, like he's going to make a big change. But I don't know, you know, that's for you to make your own decision. But some people would say, yeah, it was kind of uncalled for, and he shouldn't have done that. But either way, I just thought I'd bring that up. So let me click through here, through the CNN news board, because I find it very interesting. You know, Todd and I talk about sports sometimes. We get into the LeBron James when he was leaving Cleveland. I thought it was kind of interesting, and how that was all going to play out. I mean, I don't remember actually talking to Todd and saying if we thought he was going to LeBron was going to leave. But yeah, I mean, we all kind of knew he was going to go and, you know, do what he had to do. He won his championship, and I'm sure he's pretty happy about that. I don't think he really wanted to leave Cleveland, in my hearts of hearts. I don't think he was really looking for that. But, you know, the NBA is a money-making machine. It's one of those things that people, you know, they spend money on, and they go. And the tickets have to be outrageously expensive. You know, when I think about it, to pay these guys the top bill that they do. Actually, I was watching earlier today, I was watching the Thunder against the Golden State Warriors. What an amazing game. Totally awesome. Kevin Durant was just flying off the hook with shots and just doing... Stephen Curry was just knocking the threes down like crazy. So I didn't get to watch it. I was kind of hanging out with my wife. We're watching Iron Man 3. We're flipping through the channels. Just hanging out with her and doing some things. But will LeBron James is coming back to Cleveland? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Does it affect my life? Not really. But, you know, it's nice to talk about, something to talk about with friends and do stuff. I know we're getting closer to the NFL here. The Super Bowl is coming up pretty quick. Pretty excited. If there's anything about sports that I really get into, my Buckeyes have lost 3 in a row. All right. Excuse me. So for me being a big Buckeye fan, we lost the football game, you know, in the Orange Bowl to Clemson, and now we lose 3 in a row. That was, you know, I mean, it makes me wonder what's going on over there in Buckeye Nation. But that's kind of how life is. You have your ups and your downs, and all arounds. But I found an interesting thing today. I was flipping through the channels, well, and they were talking about who are the best NFL coaches. I mean, who would be the Mount Rushmore of coaching? And Bill Belichick's name was thrown in there, and Don Shula's name, you know, and just, you know, Tom Landry and all these different names. And I found it pretty interesting that I remember when Belichick was coaching at the Browns. In the Cleveland Browns, and I remember how people just ran him out of town and how they just didn't want him and that he sucked and this and that. But you know what? I find that Cleveland Brown fans and the Cleveland administration are a little bit, you know, too quick to, you know, off the handle there and just give up a little too soon. Belichick has won how many Super Bowls? I couldn't tell you right off the bat, but you know what? He went to the Patriots and did something that, if we would have given him the chance and let him just do the things he needed to do, who knows what history would have written for the Browns, written for Belichick. Maybe it would have been different. Maybe that was the motivation he needed to move on. But either way, it's cool. You know, it's moving on to, you know, that's a big debate, and it's left open for discussion for another day. But either way, I was pretty proud of them. But let's go to the NFL. Let's see. We're moving along here. I know this is kind of like a sports show / politics tonight. So we got the Seattle Seahawks, and we got, let's see who's left, the Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, and San Francisco 49ers. I mean, who's going to win this thing? I don't know. It's open, and I found it pretty exciting. You know, the sports has really been part of my life and been part of my upbringing. It's a place to, you know, see, you know, watch other people just, you know, release a lot of aggression. And Todd and I were sitting yesterday, we were sitting in BW3s, and we were watching the MLS draft, and we both were kind of joking around about how it was on during the day. And we didn't know if it was a rerun or not. I go, Todd, is that a rerun? And he said, I don't know. I said, it was a live show. But it was pretty cool because one of my kids who used to play on my club team, I used to coach soccer years ago, like for a club's level, which was probably 3 or 4 years ago I did that. One of my boys who played for me actually got drafted 34th pick in the MLS draft. Eric Stevenson, I was really happy for him, really proud of him. He ended up moving to other clubs and played for them, but it's good to say that I coached him when he was a little guy, you know, and when he was 12, 13, 14, around that age group, you know, so it was pretty exciting to see him and his successes, and he's doing well. It's not every day you get to say that, and he got to play for Academia Cantolao, here we call it Cantolao USA, And so for him to be in the draft and to, and I wish him the best and I hope he does well. And I hope he, you know, gets to do the things he wants to do. And I believe he got picked by the New York Red Bulls. And so let's see, he's the overall 34th pick. So let's hope he has well. Let's wish him luck. Let's hope he, you know, has a good time with it and enjoys himself, especially in his youth while he's young and he can take advantage of that. Now, Dante has actually taken over our club program with Cantolao. And, you know, we're proud of Dante for all the work he's done. We've got a couple kids from Upper Arlington who are actually playing on our team, you know, and we're proud of them. And Juan Barros is going to be playing with us. He's one of our attackers, played for Cantolao as well. And he played for Jones, where I coached. And then we have Will Orquist. He'll be playing as well. So, you know, hopefully those kids have a good time and a good future with their college ball. I'm pretty proud of them. But, yeah, we're just a ragtag group of boys, and we're doing well. And, you know, and just our guys are all doing real well, and we're proud of them. And Jake's getting ready to move on to the Navy. He leaves in April. We're going to really miss him. He'll be in there for at least 4 years. I think he's got an 8-year commitment. So, Jake, you know, we wish you luck with the Navy. Want to let you know about that. And, I'm a big sports guy. I like basketball. I like football. Never really gotten into hockey. I didn't really quite understand that. I guess maybe that's kind of how people who didn't understand soccer feel about hockey, how I feel about hockey. Just can't quite get into that rhythm and try to figure it out. But, yeah, basketball this year in the college level has been really, really, really exciting. I found it really very competitive this year. The leagues are really strong, very powerful. What I find is in sports, it's, you know, it's, like I said earlier, it's about having an absolute, but you have a winner and you have a loser, and you learn from these losses, and you learn from the winnings as well. But the losses, you know, they start to hurt, man. They start to feel really bad when you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And it's fun to see these kids go out there and work really hard. They don't get paid. And they really worked hard because they're really working to, you know, to pay off that, you know, that education. They're really working hard, you know, so they can be something and moving around. Not every player has that scenario where they come from the ghetto or they come from a rough upbringing. Some of these kids come from prep schools. They come from good families and they come from good neighborhoods. And, you know what, but it's a dream. A lot of these boys have dreams to, you know, become professional and to do something different with their life. And so when I look at these kids, you know, and when the NCAA tournament shows up, you know, there's a lot of work there. There's a lot of hustle and there's a lot of belief. And, you know, it's kind of like life. How you practice and how you work is how you're going to look at life and how you're going to approach life. You know, there's an old saying I always tell my kids, how you practice is how you play. So if you're being slacking and you're not taking it serious, well, you're going to come across that way. You're going to have a hard time because that stuff carries over and that, you know, the bad habits carry over. And so we always try to teach our kids to do things on a positive note and to be good at what they're doing when they're doing it and to be focused. But this year, it's, you know, this year the NBA and in the college, you know, ranks, it's the game has transitioned. It's become the game of the point guard, in my opinion. The point guard game is the big thing right now. Who can outshoot and who can outplay? It used to be the big man game. You know, used to go inside and, you know, play the big man. I think if they get back to the big man, if the school goes back to using the big man, like they used to, there's no stopping them. But if you're just going to go straight point guard, it's going to wear and tear on the body. You're going to take those hard knocks. And there's only, you know, a certain point where you have to establish, you know, a certain, it's like establishing the run in football. You have to establish the post. And no matter how big or small you are, no matter what school you're, establishing the post is important. And that's like a life lesson, establishing the post, establishing your perimeter, establishing. But we don't learn that. If we would carry some of these things over, you know, from sports, you know, from the things we do, and, you know, things that we go into life would probably be a lot easier for a lot of people. And for myself as well. And I try to use sports as a motivating thing for myself to get me to those into that area, into that place where I need to be. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty passionate about soccer, and that's why I do it. And that passion has carried me over into the field that I am, and then my holistic practice with my shamanism, my medicine man work, you know, just the readings and the things that I do. And, you know, but, you know, it's all practice. It's all time. It's all timing. You know, in the beginning, I wasn't necessarily not confident, but I wasn't sure if I was able to give a good reading. I wasn't able to do something like that. But as we progress, we do better. So, you know, basically that's what we were talking about today on this show, Mudto at Midnight. You know, filling in for Todd, I'm Iggy Garcia. I wanted to let everybody know that I wanted to make sure that Todd's show got broadcasted. He'll be back next week at midnight again. I'm sure you guys will miss him. His spin on life and how he sees things. But, yeah, you know, my show is on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I do intuitive readings. I have guests. So if you want something a little different from Mudto's, you know, tune into my show. I'm going to go to a 30-second break, and we'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication and resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. You are tuned into With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, filling in for Todd Smith, Mudto at Midnight. Todd will be back next week. If not, then I'll be back, or there'll be a rerun, one of the two. He had other engagements he had to do today. He was busy working, doing whatever he had to do. Asked me to put on a show for him or do the show. Well, actually, I volunteered that for him. I wanted to give him that option. So I decided I'd just do a live show. That way you got to hear a little bit another side of me that probably don't hear too much. Some of you get to hear me, you know, talking about, you know, the love and the light. But, you know, there's also another aspect of myself, the little, you know, version of myself that likes sports, that likes politics, that likes love politics. I ran for office years ago. It wasn't too long ago. But, you know, I just like to, you know, get out there and mingle and talk with people and get to pick their brain a little bit about stuff. I hope that you enjoyed the show tonight. I hope I probably didn't do as good a job as Todd would, but because it's his segment, it's his show. But I was honored to fill in for him and get to talk and share my thoughts about a couple things and a few things that I thought. We talked a little bit about the Japanese soldier who was in the jungles for 29 years. It's a long time, man. It's a long time. When I think about, I've been married 24 years and 17 years with kids and, you know, 23 years with my oldest. You know, that's a lifetime. That's a quarter of your life, more, a little more than a quarter of your life, you know, spent, you know, hiding away. And then we covered a little bit about sports. Got to share a little bit about, you know, LeBron James and that thing. You know, there's rumors going on that he's maybe going back to Cleveland. Who knows? You know, does it affect us? You know, maybe an emotional state for a moment. But, you know, regardless, he's going to make his buck. He's going to make his bundle there. But that's kind of how it is. That's how the universe is. And then we talked about college basketball and a little bit and, you know, where it's going and how it's changing and how it's morphed a little bit in the game with the point guards. So hopefully you got to spend a little time with me. And if you get it, you don't get it, it's fine. No problem. But I was glad to be here tonight with his Todd show covering for him. So, Todd, I appreciate you for allowing me your segment to cover for you. It's been a pleasure. I want to say goodnight to everybody, and you guys have a great night, and we'll see you next week.